Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway here on ESPN 102.5. The game, the Ally 400, coming up Father's Day weekend out at that track. And a guy that I know has been doing some voice work talking about the Nashville Super Speedway joins us now, the legendary Darrell Waltrip, the three-time Cup Series champion and the Hall of Famer. DW, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, doing great. Beautiful day here in Franklin, Tennessee, Nashville. Hey, let me ask you a question. How did you get the name? Where did Chase come from? Who decided you were going to be Chase?
My real name is Charles, and my parents, my dad is also Charles. He didn't want me to be Little Charlie or Charlie Jr., and so they came up with Chase as the nickname, and that's what I've always gone by.
Yeah, no, I like it. I didn't know if it was some racing-related something or if you just like that name, but that makes a lot of sense.
It's funny whenever I have Chase Briscoe or Chase Elliott on it. Becomes the Chase and Chase show.
Yeah, my other brother. Yeah.
So obviously we'll start with the Super Speedway, because I saw on Twitter, because you know everything is on Twitter these days, were doing some work with them, and Eric Moses, the president, the job that they've done, and it's a process, but to get that place ready to go after 10 years of just sitting there, it's going to be pretty cool to see it all come together Father's Day weekend.
Yeah, it is. I went to a lot of races back, 10 years ago when they were racing there, and David Ruderman drove my truck. He won there. Mm-hmm. So I'm very familiar with the racetrack, and I'm excited for Eric. Eric is a great guy. I don't know that he was a racing guy when he took the job at the Speedway, but he's learning fast, and he's put together a good team, and I'm excited because, we've had every kind of racing at that track, trucks, Xfinity, Indy cars, but we've never had the Cup guys in town, and so I've talked to some of them. They're pretty excited about coming and racing on the concrete, and I think it's going to be a great event. And I'm really happy that I could help Eric, get it reopened and going again.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, because I went to a ton of races out there as well, and a lot of the guys you're going to see in the Cup Series cut their teeth out there racing in the trucks in the Xfinity Series. So they're familiar with that place. To have it, for somebody that calls Franklin home, and you have for a long time, to have NASCAR back in the Nashville market means what to you?
Well, it's been a long time. I mean, we haven't raced Cup cars in Nashville since what, 84, I think, at the fairgrounds. Yep. And so it's been a long time since the stars of the sport have, been in Nashville. They've been here for various races, truck races, Xfinity races, but first time we've had Cup cars here in many, many years. So that's a great accomplishment. I didn't know what was going to happen to that speedway. It's an incredibly great facility. I know a lot of people are not, maybe they're not even familiar with the track, but when you go on 840 around there, the entrance, all the ins and the outs, the parking, all those things are an absolute race fan's dreams. It's easy in, easy out, and the racing is darn good. It's a concrete racetrack, which is different, and the guys have to adjust a little bit to that. But when you put those Cup cars on that racetrack, I guarantee you, you'll go home. It has the wow factor to it, and you'll go home and you'll want them. You can't wait to go to the next race there. So, I think Eric's sitting on a gold mine. I think he's just gotta promote it right, work hard, and get the fans out there the first time. And I think they come and see a race there once, they'll want to come back.
You mentioned the Nashville Fairgrounds, and it has been since 1984, since the Cup Series was there. Saw yesterday, Mayor John Cooper of Nashville has signed a letter of intent with Speedway Motorsports, Bristol Motor Speedway, Marcus Smith, Bruton Smith, those guys, to enter into an agreement that they're going to renovate that place, get it ready to go, get it up to standards for NASCAR, and hopefully NASCAR is going to be racing at the fairgrounds in addition to the Nashville Super Speedway. You're a track champion. You won there a lot. And like I said, being a Nashville guy, but the fairgrounds, as excited as everybody is about the Super Speedway, having the fairgrounds a part of it is going to make this even more special.
Well, that racetrack is near and dear to my heart. I love the fairgrounds. I'm excited that the mayor, one of the reasons that the mayor and I became friends was because he liked the fairgrounds and he was committed to doing something with the racetrack. He was not going to let them tear it up or get rid of it. And I was happy about that. Bruton, Marcus Smith and Bruton and Jerry Caldwell, they have a vision for that racetrack. Fans clamor all the time. All they talk about is more short tracks, more road courses. Well, this year we've got more road courses, and I think eventually the schedule will have a place for the Nashville Fairgrounds to be on the schedule somewhere down the road. It's going to take a couple of years to renovate it. It hadn't anything done to it in a long, long time. Maybe never. I can't remember anything being done to the track since it was renovated to the way it is today. So, they got their work cut out for them. But I think when they get done with that, I don't know how the Super Speedway out in Lebanon, I don't know how that'll do, long term. But you remember, we would race at, Raceway Park, which is a little half mile racetrack outside of Indianapolis.
Yep.
When they had raced there on Friday night, and then the guys would run the cup race on Sunday. I could see a number of variations of something like that where we raced Xfinity cars and trucks maybe there on a Friday or Saturday night and the cup cars at the Super Speedway on Sunday, or even vice versa. But there's this market. Look, we got Indy cars coming to town, and they're going to be running through the streets of downtown Nashville this year. That's exciting. And we've got cup cars coming to town. That's exciting. We all know, you know, I know, we all know Nashville has become a destination. People are moving in here every day, and most of them from California, by the way. But a lot of people are moving into our area, and a lot of people that move here are race fans. And I think NASCAR, Mike Helton, the president of NASCAR, he loves the Nashville market. He always has. And so we just got a lot going for us, and we just got to capitalize on all that and get the fans excited and involved. And who knows, this could be Nashville may become the hub of racing one of these days.
It does feel that way. Darrell Waltrip here with us, the NASCAR Hall of Famer. In 1984, I believe Jeff Bodine won the last race out there, but they had two cup races a year. And if I'm not mistaken, the May race, old DW and Junior Johnson and Associates won that race.
Yeah, I won... I can't remember. I think I won 10 or 12 cup races out there. So the race at Bodine won, I think I ran second. And I hated that because I knew that was the last time we were going to race there. I would like to have been the guy that won that last race, but I wasn't. And look, when I grew up, when I was starting my career, PB Corral here in Franklin offered me a ride in the number 48 sportsman car at the time at the fairgrounds. And little did I know, I had a vision. I thought someday I might be a cup driver, but I knew that was a stepping stone. I left Owensboro. I came here. I dominated the fairgrounds for a number of years, won a couple of championships, drove for PB Crowd, drove for RC Alexander, Ellis Cook. That was just my claim to fame. And then my first cup win was at the fairgrounds in 1975. So that track means a lot to me. It means a lot to Sterling Marlin. The Green brothers, Dale Jr., there's just so many of us that have a real fondness for that racetrack and the future of it. So I think a lot of good things are going to happen as we go forward with the fairgrounds.
Well, and what's cool about it is, you know, the people you just named, you and Sterling and before his passing, Bobby Hamilton, you know, guys that are from here all loved that place and wanted to see that place reopen. But you also bring up Dale Jr., and Dale Jr., being the historian that he is with NASCAR, and you know, I watched the Dale Jr. Download, and he's explained that it's a way for him to learn more about his dad and learn more about the history. But he's always had a special place with Nashville, and for him to come in and be here when they signed that letter of intent was really cool with the work that he's done with all of you to try and get NASCAR back to the fairgrounds.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've all been working hard, you know, behind the scenes. Jerry Caldwell has met with the city council a number of times, a fair board a number of times. And so, you know, yesterday was like gold for us because it meant something was really going to happen. We've talked about it. We've had meetings. We kind of had plans, but yesterday it actually became a reality. So that's exciting. Yeah, Dale Jr. loves the fairgrounds just like a lot of us do. He's involved with the IndyCar race, going to be involved with the fairgrounds. The history of racing in Nashville, I don't know of another city in the whole country that can compete with Nashville when it comes to the drivers that track has produced, the history it has. It's an iconic speedway. And what's cool about that racetrack, when you think about, and I don't know how many short tracks you've been to around the country, but I've been to about all of them.
One of them, too.
Yeah, hardly any racetrack that I can recall has a tunnel that leads into the track. Hardly any racetrack that I ever went to had an electronic scoreboard like they've had at the fairgrounds for 100 years. Hardly any racetracks that still exist and are operational are in the middle of town like the fairgrounds is. So everything about that racetrack, everything about that facility is absolutely a promoter's dream come true because it's got everything you need and it's all right there, right in the middle of town. So, I think we're going to see some great things happen with that speedway in the future. Look, SMI, they could move the All-Star race to the National Fairgrounds. So there's a lot of options. We had no options. Tony Formosa and his crowd, they did a great job of keeping the place open. But now we've got options. Now we've got cup options, and that's huge.
Darrell Waltrip here with us. And you won a lot at Bristol. I got to get your thoughts on this. They've put dirt on that place, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've watched racing for a long time. Don't know a lot about going into dirt, you know, how you prepare for a dirt race, but I'm excited about it, but I'm also scared for these guys because I know a lot of them don't have the dirt background. What are you thinking about this?
Well, I wouldn't have done that personally. I mean, I won on the asphalt when the Bristol was asphalt, and then they concreted. I'll never forget the first race they had on concrete. They said, well, that'll be the end of DW streak, and we won that very first race. So I won 12 times there. I'm the winningest driver at that racetrack. There's a grandstand there, and a third and fourth turn has my name on it. That track the fairgrounds is near and dear to me, but I love that track equally as much. And they put dirt on it once before, and it was semi-successful, I guess. But I think it's just a product of the times. People are fans. Fans are constantly wanting something new, wanting something different. When we went to Eldora, Tony Stewart's track, with the trucks, huge success. But it wore off. And now we're going to go to Bristol, another iconic racetrack in our series and in our sport. And they put dirt on it. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are have some dirt experience, but not very many. I mean, it's kind of a must watch. You're going to have to watch, see it, kind of have your opinion about it, I think, after the event. I just can't imagine covering up that track with dirt and having a race. It just didn't make sense to me. But Jerry Caldwell and Pruton Smith and that whole crowd, Marcus, they're smart guys. They know what they're doing. And they've done a nice job with the track. They've had some testing going on there, so I'm sure it'll be a good event. Bristol always is, no matter what the surface is like, and then we'll have to decide if we like it or not.
So how have things been going with you since you left the booth? You're retired now, and it's good to have you on. It's been a while since we've gotten to talk to you, but what's life been like for you?
I was about 6 months behind on doing nothing, and I caught up on that in a hurry. So got that behind me. And, some days, I guess because of COVID and everything that's gone on the last year or so, it was probably a good time for me to retire. They've been doing a lot of the races last year from the studio in Charlotte. I probably wouldn't have liked that. I got to be there. I got to feel it, smell it, touch it, hear it. And doing the races from a studio would have been pretty hard. So I guess the timing was pretty good on that from that respect. But I miss it. I miss being at the track. I miss seeing my guys. There's a fraternity of us drivers, and you never, once you're in it, you're never out of it. So I do talk to a lot of the guys. Boyer and I are great friends. I've tried to help him some match up with Jeff Gordon, and he's doing a nice job with doing there. So I'm still involved to go to the Hall of Fame and help out over there. But it's not quite the same as it was when I was working every weekend. So I miss it. I miss it a lot. I don't like necessarily being retired, but, I've gotten a lot of power washing done the last year or so. Got a beautiful, clean driveway, and I go over and clean my neighbor's driveway. I'm a busy guy. I go to the lake. Got a great lake house up Center Hill. Spend a little time on the lake. Got two beautiful granddaughters, Louisa and Sadie Rader. And so I'm trying to grow into my new role as a grandfather and as a retired TV analyst. You know what's funny, Chase?
What's that?
A lot of people don't know I ever drove. It fascinates me, as people know me as Daryl Cartrip from the movie Cars, or they may know me as Daryl Waltrip, the analyst. But when you start talking about I won 84 races, really? Well, what series were you racing in? I mean, it's a lot of young people that have just started following the sport over the last few years. They don't know the history of the sport. And they don't know the heroes of the past. And so it's surprising to me how many people I run into that know me as a TV analyst but don't remember me as a driver.
And that's so amazing. And that's what, you know, where guys like Dale Jr. and others that are historians and myself, because, I mean, I saw you race at the end of your career. But I still know your career. I know what you accomplished because I have that passion for the sport. And I feel like as NASCAR grows and they bring in new fans, that's what they need to they have to do a little bit better job of, you know, get people to the Hall of Fame to learn more about, you know, the history of Cale Yarborough and Bobby Allison and Dale Earnhardt, Darrell Waltrip, you know, all of you guys that paved the way and not just know the names, but know what you actually accomplished.
Yeah, I think the Hall of Fame's in a tough spot. Winston does a great job of running that Hall of Fame. But look, there's a lot of people that I think should be in the Hall of Fame that aren't, but nobody knows who they are. And so you've got to kind of induct people in the Hall of Fame that the fans today know a little bit about and know about their history. When you start talking about guys in the 60s, 70s, 80s, even some in the 90s, a lot of people are not aware of those drivers, and so they don't put they're not real significant in their mind. But in my mind, as a driver that drove with a lot of the guys that are in the Hall of Fame, I just sometimes I wish there was some of the older guys and driver crew chiefs and mechanics were in the Hall of Fame, but they gotta keep it current as much as possible, and you know, you can't have a bunch of guys that are not around anymore in the Hall of Fame when they had the big dinner and everything. So anyway, I understand their situation, but I miss my old friends. And by the way, you can't make old friends.
No, you can't. as we wrap this up, and I've really enjoyed the time today and appreciate you taking the time out of a Saturday morning. And I don't want to end on a sad note, but I it's been 20 years. It's hard to believe that it's been 20 years since we lost Dale. And growing up as a racing fan, I, at 3 years old, loved that black number three car because he won a lot, for one. But he, you know, he just didn't – he took no prisoners. And I've really enjoyed hearing the stories, not about 20 years ago, but about Dale and your guys and your rivalry and your friendship and how it all came to be. And I spent hours watching different video clips and the Dale Jr. download, the interview you did with him. And you guys had a unique relationship, that's for sure. But it's one of the greatest friendships and rivalries, I think, in the sport. And I know that he was near and dear to you in many ways.
Yeah, we were. I always like to say we were frenemies. We were friends sometime. We were enemies sometime. We were friends most of the time off the racetrack, but he was a competitor, and I didn't look at Dale any other way. He was a buddy of mine. We did a lot of things together. I actually drove for him. He took really good care of me when I drove the one car, the Pennzoil car, and he gave my brother an opportunity that my brother would have never had if it hadn't been for Dale. So He meant a lot to me, meant a lot to our family. And I love Dale Jr. and Kelly. I've known them ever since they were born. Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years ago. I think it's one of the reasons it's so hard is because I don't think we've ever let Dale die. I think and I don't mean that in a bad way. Don't take that the wrong way. I just mean that we talk about him every day. People ask me every day, well, what do you think Dale would think about that? Or what do you think Dale would say? Or what do you think Dale would do? I think DEI would have been as strong as Hendrick Motorsports or Penske or any of those front running teams. Dale had a vision. He had the resources to make that happen. And, he was just getting that rolling, when things went bad. But, he was an interesting dude. I always say it's timing. He was in the right place at the right time. He was the guy the sport needed. He was a blue collar guy. Everybody in the grandstand could relate to Dale, and he was tough. You'll never see a picture of the three cars. You don't see it running into somebody. That's just the way he drove. And after a while, it just became, it's just Dale, and we just accepted that.
How did he and Michael get to be so close? Because that was really when you and him had the rivalry.
Well, I love my brother to death. He and I are really good friends and buddies, and we talk all the time. But you got to realize something. My brother moved to North Carolina, and who did he live with?
Dale Earnhardt.
No, the Petties.
Oh, the Petties. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I was not a big Richard Petty fan, and so Kyle. Richard's son and Michael became good buddies, and Michael lived with the Petties for a while. And I love this. I got to tell you this quick story. They're sitting on the couch, Michael, Kyle, and Richard, and they're watching a race. And Michael's telling the King and Kyle what's going on. And my brother says, Richard looked at him and said, "Hey, boy, where did you learn about racing anyway?" And my brother says, "I learned everything I know from racing from my brother." And he said, Richard looked at him and said, "You don't know much, do you?" So Dale and I are huge rivals on the racetrack, not so much off, but on the racetrack.
Yeah.
And so who does my brother buddy up to?
Dale.
Yeah. So my brother kind of used reverse psychology. You don't like my brother, but I think you'll like me. And, I think it actually paid off for him because, driving for DEI, that was a great opportunity for him. I never forget, my brother never won a race. And people were saying, "Why did he put him in that car? Why did he put Michael Walsh in that car for?" And I know Dale so well. I knew Dale would like to. He would love to have been standing in victory lane at Daytona that day with his arm around Dale Jr. and his arm around Michael and say, "I told you so." Because that was one thing about Dale. He loved to be able to say, "I told you so." And the last thing that Dale saw was that 15 and that 8 headed for the start finish line, and one of them was going to win that race. That's the last thing he saw, and I'm sure that meant the world to him.
Yeah, there's not many things that as you get older you remember. I will always remember you calling Michael to the win, and then saying, "Is Dale okay? I hope Dale's okay." And it's just hard to believe it's been 20 years, but DW, this has been a pleasure. Always appreciate you taking the time to come on, and can't wait to actually see you at the racetrack when it comes here in June, and of course at the fairgrounds and the Grand Prix as well.
All right, buddy. Looking forward to it. Should be exciting. We got a lot going on. Indy cars, cup cars, fairgrounds. I mean, if you're a race fan, it doesn't get much better than what we got going on for a while here. So take advantage of it. I love it.
Absolutely. Thanks, DW.
All right, pal. See you, Chase.
Darrell Waltrip, Hall of Famer, 3-time Cup Series champion, joining us here on Chasing Checkers.